Leaving the hotel, Pearlie and Lucy stepped out onto the boardwalk, then walked arm in arm down Main Street, all the way to the tracks at the far end of town. Behind them, the lights around the dance floor glittered brightly. The rest of the town was dark, or nearly so. Here and there, a candle or lantern gleamed. Overhead, the moon was just over half full and shining brightly enough to paint the surrounding countryside in shades of silver and black. The sky was filled with stars, some so bright that it looked as if you could almost pluck them from the sky. Then, between the very bright ones, were thousands of stars of lesser magnitude, then lesser still, until the entire night sky seemed to glow dimly with a soft blue light from those stars that couldn't quite be seen. That made the night sky just a little lighter than the nearby mountains, so that the range stood out in bold black relief on the distant horizon.
Have you ever seen anything so beautiful?
No, I haven't.
I mean the sky.
I mean this.
He put his hands on her shoulders, then leaned down toward her. She turned her face up, offering him her mouth, and they kissed. Suddenly, Pearlie pulled away from her and looked down at her.
Oh, Lucy, I'm sorry. I had no right to be so forward.
Oh, don't be silly, Pearlie. That is exactly what I wanted. But maybe we should get back now.
Yes, I think so.
Halfway back to the dance floor, Lucas Kino suddenly stepped out of the darkness of the space between two buildings, holding an axe handle. He held it in his right hand and tapped it softly into the palm of his left.
Get out of here, Lucy.
No, I'm not going to leave you with
I said get out of here now!
Lucy hesitated just a second, then started running back toward the lights at the far end of the street. Kino swung at Pearlie, and Pearlie danced back out of the way. Pearlie grabbed the axe handle, jerked it from Kino's hand, and tossed it away. Pearlie stood over Kino for a moment, then turned to head back to the hotel. That's when he saw Cal and Lucy standing no more than 50 feet away.
I thought I told you to go back.
Well, I couldn't just leave you. Besides, Cal was with me.
Yeah, if he had gotten into any real trouble, I would have stepped in to help you out.
Well, damn, Cal, he came after me with an axe handle. How much trouble would I have to be in before you thought I was in trouble?
Well, I don't know. It looked to me like you were handling it pretty well. Don't you think so, Miss Lucy?
I think it was the bravest thing I ever saw.
After Pearlie, Cal, and Lucy left, Kino got up onto his hands and knees.
Well, you're still alive, I see.
Kino looked toward the voice, but could see nothing.
Who is it? Who's there?
A man stepped from the darkness.
It's me, Jeter.
What are you doing down here?
Watching.
Kino got to his feet, then rubbed his chin.
I was just aiming to scare him. Should have gone after him for real.
Yeah, you should have.
What do you mean you're watching?
Well, maybe a little more than that. I followed you when you left the dance.
Why?
Because I've got a proposition for you. I know how you can make some money and get even with Jensen.
We mean get even with Jensen? Pearlie's the one I want, and Cal.
The way them all is joined at the hip, I reckon if you get even with one of them, you get even with all of them.
You may have a point there. What do you have in mind?
Let's get out of here. I'll tell you all about it on the way.
On the way where?
Look, do you want in on this or not?
You say I can make some money and get back at Jensen?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, I want in on it.
Good. Just don't ask so damn many questions. You'll find out everything you need to know soon enough.
What time you reckon it is?
Cal and Pearlie rode under the arch that marked the beginning of the road up to the big house.
Oh, it's a little after 10 o'clock, I reckon.
We're some big partygoers we are, coming back home by 10 o'clock. And here we told Smoke we'd be gone till early morning.
Oh, I don't reckon he thought we'd really be gone all that long. Besides, if we're gonna be punching cows come first light, I'd as soon go ahead and get a little sleep anyway.
I reckon you're right.
The two boys rode on into the barn, dismounted, took the saddles off, then gave their horses some oats before turning them into the corral. It was a short walk from the barn to the bunkhouse.
Hey, Pearlie, do you think Mo was right?
Right? Right about what?
The hat band. Do you think if I had a fancy hat band, the girls would pay more attention to me?
Oh, hell, Cal, you don't need nothing fancy. All you need to do is be a little more friendly at these dances. Girls look at you and get scared off.
I don't ever know what to say to a girl. I'm shy, I don't know. Maybe Moe is right. Maybe if I had me something like a fancy hat band, I could do better.
When dawn broke the next morning, Smoke, Pearlie, and Cal were in the saddle, cutting 1,500 head away from the main herd. They weren't alone at this point, for many of Smoke's Mexican hands were with them, dressed as vaqueros, wearing large sombreros, and in some cases, serapes, as they dashed about, forming the cows into a manageable herd. Sally was working with them as well. She slapped her legs against the side of her horse, urging it into a gallop as she dashed alongside the slowly moving herd until she reached the front, where a few cows were trying to break away from the right-hand side. Expertly, she pushed them back into position. Cal was the flank rider on the left side, near the front, and Juan was on the same side, riding in the swing position, or near the rear. Pearlie was riding the swing on the right, which would be his position once they were underway. For the moment, Carlos was riding flank on the right. Sally was in the point position, which would be Smoke's position.
All right, boys. We'll take it from here.
Who are you calling boy?
Darling, I might call you many things, but boy ain't one of them.
Ain't? Smoke Jensen, you know that everyone on this ranch looks up to you. How am I ever going to teach proper grammar if you don't set the example?
Sally, if they all look up to me, they have a sorry example, I'm afraid.
False modesty does not become you, and they do look up to you, and you should be cognizant of that at all times.
Cognizant?
Yes, cognizant. What do you find so funny?
You.
Oh?
Look at you. I'll bet when you were a little girl growing up in New Hampshire, the daughter of a rich man, you thought you would be the president of the garden club, hosting teas and the like. Never in your life would you have imagined yourself riding stride and pushing cattle.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Smoke Jensen. I'm doing exactly what I used to imagine myself doing.
Now that I think about it, I'll just bet you are.
Let me come with you.
No need. Pearlie, Cal, and I can handle it.
But it would be easier with me along, and you know it would.
Sally, someone has to stay and watch the place.
Carlos can do that.
What about school? Don't you have some kids depending on you to teach school?
Yes, yes, I do. But it's not fair.
I won't be gone long, and when I come back, why, we can go into Big Rock and you can go shopping.
Big Rock, my hind foot. If I'm going shopping, I'm going to do it upright. We'll be going to Denver. Denver? Heck, we might even go all the way back to New York.
Whoa, let's not get carried away with all this.
Hurry back to me. Carlos, Juan, let's go.
Turning her horse, she urged it into a quick gallop as she started back toward the house. Smoke watched, appreciating the easy way she sat the saddle and the way she seemed to almost share the musculature of the horse, so that the gallop was like a ballet involving horse and rider. Smoke knew of a lot of good horsemen, but he had never met anyone who was better than Sally. As they got underway to Frisco, the herd moved across the land, not in one large mass, but in a long, plodding column, generally no more than 3 or 4 abreast. While it was on the move, flankers would ride on either side of the herd, keeping it moving, while one man rode drag. Drag was the least desirable position because the cowboy who rode behind the herd had to swallow all the dust. In many outfits, Cal, being the youngest and the least experienced, would have been selected to ride drag every day. But Smoke was fair about it, and he rotated the position, even taking drag himself when it was his turn. Smoke had scouted all of the best places to camp for the night when he had ridden to Frisco the first time. As a result, there was no need to send anyone ahead, as one would during a normal drive. Smoke had carefully selected the nightly encampments to be about 15 miles apart. That way, he knew that they would cover the 75 miles in 5 nights, arriving at Frisco by mid-morning of the 6th day. The hardest part of the drive was to get the cows moving each morning. By design, the campsites were picked where there was plenty of grass and water. In addition, there would be an occasional tree or an overhanging bluff to provide some respite from the sun, and that combination made the cows reluctant to leave. Each morning, they had every intention of staying right where they were. There was a distinctive aroma to a herd this size. The smells came from sun on the hides, the dust in the air, and most pungently from the animals' droppings and urine. While the odor was strong and no doubt to most people unpleasant, to Smoke it was a scent as familiar and almost agreeable as the fragrance of flour and cinnamon on Sally's apron. It would be a long and labor-intensive journey for just three men to drive a herd this size. But as far as Smoke was concerned, there was no place in the world he'd rather be than right here, right now. At one time, there had actually been a town called Putrid Wells, built during a silver strike in the nearby buttes. But the silver had played out quickly, so the townspeople had moved on. A score or more of abandoned buildings remained, some of wood and turning gray, others of adobe and disintegrating under the heat of the summer sun and the blows of winter. Of the buildings that lined both sides of a single street, only one was still occupied. The one remaining business establishment was the Silver Strike Saloon. The Silver Strike, which was built of adobe brick, was the largest building in town. Nippy Jones, its owner, insisted to all who passed by that the silver was still there, still ready to be pulled from the mine. Only a few diehard prospectors believed him. In fact, he didn't believe it himself. It was just his way of trying to breathe life back into the town. He managed to stay in business by providing drink and food to the few prospectors who did remain, hoping to find the motherlode and to travelers who just happened through. When Toby Jeter and Lucas Kino rode up to the Silver Strike Saloon, there were at least eight other horses tied up out front. Damn.
Who would think this place would be doing this much business?
This ain't normal. We're meeting some folks in here.
Inside, there were two men standing at the bar, though they were at opposite ends. They were obviously not together. There were six more men who were together, though, and they were sitting in the back of the room at a couple of tables that had been pulled together. One of the men sitting at the tables was the whitest person Kino had ever seen, and he stopped for a moment to stare in curiosity.
I told you he's pale.
You said pale? You didn't say white.
Yeah, well, don't say nothing to him about it. He gets a bit peaked when folks go on about it.
I wasn't gonna say nothing. I was just looking, that's all.
Come on. I'll introduce you to him.
Hello, Jeter. Is this the man you told us about?
Yeah, this here's Lucas Kino. He used to work for Smoke Jensen. Kino, this is Van Arndt. He's the boss.
The boss of what?
You'll find out soon enough. This here's Peters.
Peters was short and swarthy with dark, beady eyes.
Boswell.
Jeter pointed to a man who had a purple scar running from his left eye down to the corner of his lip.
Chardine.
Chardine suffered from hyperthyroidism, though it had never been diagnosed. The visual symptom, however, was quite clear in the bulging eyes that were his most prominent feature. Kingsley and Miller, the last two men Jeter introduced to Kino, were unremarkable in appearance, being of average size and coloring, and without any visible scars or abnormalities.
I understand you worked for Smoke Jensen.
I used to, yeah. I don't work for him anymore.
You got any loyalties left for your old boss?
Loyalties?
Yeah. Any reason why you wouldn't want to steal anything from him?
Are you kidding? If I could, I'd steal the nickels off the son of a bitch's eyes after he's dead. In fact, I wish I could do that very thing.
Then I reckon you can ride with that.
What is this all about?
You didn't tell him anything?
I figured you'd want to do that.
We're gonna take his herd.
Take his herd? Impossible. He has more than 30,000 on the hoof, scattered over a 15,000-acre ranch.
Not that herd. Jensen and two of his cowboys are taking 1,500 cows to Frisco to sell to a cattle buyer there.
Why is he taking them all the way to Frisco? Why not just take them into the railhead at Big Rock?
The buyer at Frisco is paying $5 more per head. That means he's paying $45,000 for those cows.
Phew. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. And if you ask me, it's far too much money to be wasted on the likes of Smoke Jensen.
So, what's the plan?
It's a simple enough plan. There are only three of them taking the herd in. There are eight of us.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's there not to know? Eight against three seems like pretty good odds to me.
What you don't understand is, them's not just any three men. Smoke Jensen may be the best man with a gun there is. And I don't reckon Pearlie and Cal are any too bad.
I heard that you was pretty good with a gun. Is that a lie?
No, that ain't no lie. I am good with a gun.
Better than Jensen?
Yeah, I think I am. And I know damn well I'm better than Pearlie or Cal.
Well, then there is no problem. You can take out Pearlie and Cal, that'll leave the rest of us to handle Jensen.
When is all this supposed to happen?
The herd will come close by here tomorrow. Hey, barkeep.
Yeah, sure. More liquor.
How much will it cost for us to spend a night here in the saloon?
I got rooms upstairs. Only cost you 15 cents a room.
Nah, not upstairs. We don't need no rooms. We'll sleep here on the floor.
Well, sir, that won't cost you no more than a nickel apiece. 40 cents, I reckon.
Here's four dimes. Come get them.
Nippy stepped around the bar, then walked over to get the money.
I won't be providing no blankets or nothing. Not at this price.
We don't need no blankets.
As Nippy returned to the bar, Van Arnt continued explaining his plan to the others.
We'll spend a night here and hit them at mid-morning. They won't be looking for us, so we'll just ride in and kill Jensen and the two with him. Once they're dead, it won't be nothing for us to then take the herd and drive them on into Frisco our own selves.
You sure we can sell the herd? I mean, isn't the buyer expecting Jensen to deliver the herd?
From what I know, the buyer needs all the beef he can get for a contract he has with the army. I expect he'll buy from the first person who shows up.
Up at the bar, one of the men who had watched and heard everything that transpired made a signal to the owner.
Nippy, you have any of that whorehound candy left?
Yep, Taylor, I have some left, but damn if you don't keep me run out of it most of the time. I swear, you sure are like a kid, with always wanting some of that whorehound candy.
What can I say, Nippy? I like whorehound candy. Fact is, when I strike silver, I plan to build me a factory making nothing but whorehound candy, and I don't plan to sell none of it. I'll be eating all of it my own self.
Well, you get that whorehound candy factory built, you come tell me about it, Taylor. That is something I would purdy like to see.
I'll do that. I'll be back in a month or so.
You take care there, old-timer.
Hey, bartender.
Yes, sir? More whiskey?
No. Who is that fella that just left?
His name is Taylor.
Seems to me like he was a mite too interested in what we was talking about.
Hell, you don't have to worry none about that old-timer. Truth is, I think he's been out in the sun too long. He's a bit addled in the head, if you ask me. He's been prospecting for gold and silver for 10 years or more.
Has he ever found anything?
Oh, I think he finds enough leavings from the tailings of the old mine to stay alive, but he ain't ever found nothing to write home about. Why do you ask? Are you interested in doing some mining? Because if you are, I've got some maps I'll sell you.
Nah, Boswell, we ain't interested in nothing like that. We got other things to think about.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean now. I was thinking about maybe later.
Don't think. I'll do the thinking for all of us.
It was nearly supper time when Cal spotted the rider coming toward the camp.
Smoke, someone's coming.
Anybody we know?
I've never seen him. How about you, Smoke? Have you ever seen him?
No. But if he was looking for trouble, I don't expect he'd come into the camp riding like this.
No, I don't think so either.
Hello, the camp!
Come on in. They studied the rider as he approached. He looked to be in his 60s at least. He was bony and angular, almost to the point of emaciation. He had a white, stubby beard, not one that was purposely grown, but the result of going several days without shaving.
We're just about to have our supper. You're welcome to join us.
Well, now, I thank you kindly for that. I ain't never one to turn down a free meal.
He pulled out his own mess kit and handed it to Cal, who reached for it.
The name is Taylor. Bogardus Taylor, though I don't normally tell folks my first name. I take it that one of you boys would be Smoke Jensen?
That would be me. Do I know you?
No, sir. I don't reckon that you do know me, but I know you. At least, I know about you. Some time ago, you was riding shotgun guard for my brother Puddin. Some men tried to hold up the stage. Puddin said, if it hadn't have been for you, he would have been killed for sure.
Puddin Taylor. Yes, I remember him. He got shot in the arm, as I recall. How's he doing?
Well, his arm still troubles him somewhat when it gets cold, but other than that, he is getting along just fine, thanks to you. Which is why I've come to tell you.
You've come to tell me what?
You know a feller by the name of Van Arnt? He's a real pale feller.
Yes, I know him.
Well, sir, he and some more fellers is planning to attack you tomorrow morning. What they're figuring on doing is killing the three of you and then taking your herd. This biscuit is just real good. Who made it?
I did.
Sonny, you'd be a fine man to camp with. You ever got a hankering to look for silver or gold, come and look me up. I'd be just real happy to take you on and learn you all about prospecting. Most especial if you can cook like this all the time.
How many of them are there?
Beg your pardon?
You said Van Ard and some others are planning on killing us and taking the herd. How many of them are there?
Oh, there's about 8 of them, I reckon. They're holed up back at the Silver Strike Saloon in Putrid Wells.
Putrid Wells? What kind of name is that?
Hey, I know that place. It's a town just ahead of us by a couple miles.
It was a town. It grew up around a silver mine. But when the mine played out, there was nothing to keep the people there any longer. Especially given the fact that the water's bad. That's what gave the town its name. It's a ghost town now.
Well, it ain't rightly what you would call a ghost town. A ghost town means there ain't nobody there at all. But there is a feller by the name of Nippy Jones that runs him a bar and cafe there in Putrid Wells. And these folks that drop in on him from time to time, them being mostly travelers and the like. You reckon maybe a feller could get himself another cup of that coffee?
Sure thing.
I thank you there, sonny. I thank you right kindly.
Mr. Taylor, I believe you said Van Ard and the others are holed up in Putrid Wells.
Yes, sir. I heard Van Ard tell the others he plans on them spending the night right there in the saloon tonight. Then what he plans on doing is he plans on coming after you boys and the herd around mid-morning tomorrow.
Unless we go after them first.
Go after them? What are you talking about, Smoke? Didn't you hear Mr. Taylor say there were 8 of them? That is what you said, isn't it, Mr. Taylor, that there were 8 of them?
8, that's right. And one of them used to work for you. You know a feller named Keno?
Keno? Oh, yes, sir. We do indeed know a feller named Keno.
He's one of them. He claims to be something special with a gun.
Yeah, he is good with a gun.
Is there some bad blood betwixt you boys and this feller Keno?
Why do you ask?
From listening to him talk, seems like he has a particular hard spot for the lot of you. I could be wrong, but that's the way it sounded to me.
You aren't wrong, Mr. Taylor.
So how are we going to go after 8? There's only 3 of us.
4 if you count me.
Thanks for the offer, Mr. Taylor. But you've done enough for us already. Anyway, there aren't 3 of us. There are 1,503.
1,500? I don't know where you get 1,500 unless you're counting the cows.
Don't you think they have a stake in this?
Well, I reckon they do, but I'm not sure how you plan to get them into the game.
I'll show you.
They'd gotten their herd underway before dawn, and now, nearly 2 miles into the day's drive, the sun was barely above the eastern horizon. The early morning light picked up the blanket of dew on the meadow and flashed it back in a million sparkling points of color. From their position on the crest of a hill, Smoke, Pearly, and Cal stared down toward the little ghost town of Putrid Wells.
I hope they're still here.
They're here. See the horses down there?
Ha! Yeah, they're probably planning on just how they're gonna hit us.
I reckon we'll be upsetting those plans somewhat considerable.
Are you boys ready?
We're ready. It's funny, because the thing you want to watch out for most on a long drive is a cattle stampede. Now here we are, planning on getting one going.
The herd is well watered and well fed. I don't expect they'll run too far.
Smoke, Cal, and Pearly moved their mounts into position behind the herd. Cal and Pearly had blankets in their hands, and Smoke was holding his pistol. When they were in position, they looked towards Smoke in expectation.
Now!
Inside the Silver Strike, Van Ard and the others were still sleeping off the effects of all the whiskey they'd drunk the night before. Only Keno was up, a full bladder having awakened him. He stepped outside the front door of the saloon and, rather than walk across the street to the toilet, began relieving himself in the street right in front of the saloon door.
What I'd like to do is take a piss just like this in front of Longmont's back in Big Rock. Wouldn't that be a picture now?
Then, just as he was finishing, he heard thunder. Surprised by that, Keno looked up into the sky. There wasn't a cloud to be seen. Then, looking to the north, he saw something that first puzzled and then startled him. It was cattle. An entire herd of cattle was running hell-bent across the plains. He looked at them for a moment, unable to believe his eyes. Then he realized that they weren't just running. They were stampeding, and they were heading right for him.
What the hell? My God!
My God, it's a stampede! Stampede!
He ran back into the saloon.
Stampede!
Kano, what the hell are you carrying on about? You're dreaming. Go back to sleep.
The cattle are stampeding. There's thousands of them, and they're coming right for us.
What do you mean they're coming right for us?
Jardine was lying on the floor near the bar.
What cattle? Look outside. You'll see what I'm talking about.
What the hell is that? Thunder?
Kingsley got up from the table and walked over to look through the window. At that moment, the herd was less than 100 yards away. An outhouse on the outskirts of the settlement went down under the onslaught of the thundering herd.
Holy crap! We gotta get out of here!
Kingsley, you fool! Get back in here!
The terrified man ran outside, only to find himself trapped in the open with an ocean of brown crashing toward him. He was run over and crushed by the stampeding cows. Those inside the saloon shuddered in terror as the ground shook around them. With a crash, the window frame was pulled out, leaving a large gaping hole in the wall. Through the hole, the terrified men could see a seemingly unending stream of wild-eyed cattle. One corner of the wall came tumbling down, bringing the roof down with it. Then it was quiet.
What? What the hell was that?
I've never heard of cows stampeding through a town like that.
They weren't just stampeding through the town. They was drove through the town.
What? What do you mean they was drove through the town?
I mean they was drove through the town. I seen Smoke, Jensen, Pearly, and Cal all riding behind the herd, urging them on. Them cows was drove through here of a pure purpose. Those sons of bitches tried to kill us.
How'd they even know we was here?
I don't know how they knew, but they did. And they used them cows to try and kill us.
Where's Kingsley? Does anybody see him?
He's still out there. The cows got him. He's deader than hell.
Van Arnt walked up to the door and looked outside. He could see the bloody pulp of what was left of Kingsley's body.
What are we going to do with him?
What do you mean, what are we going to do with him?
We can't just leave him there, can we?
Why not? The dumb shit brought it on himself. Anyone so damn dumb they would run out in front of a stampede don't deserve nobody to worry over him.
Still, it don't seem right.
You want to bury this son of a bitch, bury him. I ain't stopping you.
What do we do now, Van Arnt?
I don't know, Peters. Did our horses survive?
Yeah, they all run off and they heard the herd stampeding toward them. Fact is, they're all coming back now.
Good. What we do now is we leave here.
You still gonna take the herd?
No, that's not possible now.
So, are we giving up?
Depends on what you mean by giving up. We ain't going to try and take the herd. I've got a better idea.
What's that?
Think about it. If we had taken the herd, we'd still have to drive it to Frisco. Why not let Jensen and his boys do all the hard work for us? We'll wait until he delivers the herd. Then we'll take the money.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot better anyway. That Jensen and his boys do all the work. Frisco was a busy place when Smoke, Pearly, and Cal brought the herd into town. Two trains were standing in the depot. One was a passenger train taking on passengers for its run to the east. Even though the engineer was at rest, the fireman wasn't. He could be seen through the cab window shoveling coal into the firebox, working hard to keep the steam pressure up. In contrast to the fireman's toil, the engineer was leaning out the window of the highly polished green and brass locomotive. Serene in the power and prestige of his position, the engineer was smoking a curved stem pipe as he watched the activity on the depot platform. Two stagecoaches and half a dozen carriages were also sitting at the depot, while out in the street, behind the depot, a horse-drawn streetcar rumbled by. Although pushing cattle through the town was not unheard of, it was a rare enough condition to cause everyone to look on. Of course, they had little other option, since 1,500 cattle filled Poindexter Street from side to side and stretched out from Miner's Creek to the feeder on the other side of 10 Mile Creek, where the gate was already open and two of Davenport's employees were counting the cows by putting a knot and a piece of string for every 25 head that passed by. Davenport came down to the holding pens and stood there for a while, watching as the cattle were moved into the pens.
Mr. Jensen, if you have someone who can keep an eye on things for you here until all the cows are in the pen, why don't you come on over to the saloon with me and let me buy you a drink? Afterward, we'll walk down to the bank, and I'll draw out the draft for you.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Pearly, I'm going to Mr. Davenport. When you're finished here, take care of our horses and get us a couple of rooms over at the hotel.
Sure thing, Smoke!
Smoke turned the reins of his horse over to Pearly, then walked with Davenport down to the Twin Branch Saloon. The place smelled of whiskey, beer, and tobacco. There was a long bar on the left, with towels hanging on hooks about every 5 feet along the front. A large mirror was behind the bar, but the images Smoke could see were distorted by imperfections in the glass.
Barkeep, I've just closed a business deal with this gentleman, and I am in a magnanimous mood. Libations for all herein present.
The bartender and everyone in the saloon looked at Davenport with puzzled expressions on their faces. Seeing that they had not understood him, Davenport repeated his offer.
Set everyone up, barkeep. The drinks are on me.
With the cattle count secured and the horses taken to the livery, Pearly and Cal started toward the hotel to get rooms. They were walking past the mercantile store when Cal suddenly stopped and looked in through the window.
Oh, what is it? What you looking at?
Nothing. You go on. I'll be along directly.
You going into the store?
Maybe.
I'll go in with you.
No need for you to do that. Don't forget, Smoke wants you to get our hotel rooms for the night.
Why are you being so damn mysterious?
I ain't being nothing of the sort. You just go on and get them rooms like Smoke asked you to.
All right. Keep your damn secret. See if I care.
Pearly started on down the street toward the hotel. By looking across the street, he could see Cal's reflection in the window of a leather goods store. He saw that Cal was still standing in front of the store, watching him, as if making certain that he was going to the hotel. Then, when he saw Cal actually go into the store, he doubled back and looked in through the window. He saw Cal go over to a table and look at the display, but from the window, he couldn't see what it was Cal was viewing.
Yes, sir. Can I help you, sir?
A young woman stepped over to the table.
Yeah, I'd like,
Cal saw that it was a very pretty young woman.
I apologize for being so dirty, miss. But my pards and me, we just brung in 1,500 head of cows, and I had no chance to take a bath yet.
Oh, I saw you.
Beg your pardon?
I saw all the cows coming down the street this morning. And you were one of the cowboys who brought the herd in?
Yes, ma'am, I reckon I was.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes, ma'am, I reckon it was somewhat. Only it's a dirty job, which is why I'm apologizing to you for coming into your store like this.
Well, that's all right.
No, ma'am, it ain't at all right at all. I mean, if you were a man, well, it would be different. But you're a girl, and if it's all the same to you, I figure I'm going over to the hotel and having me a bath, and I'll come back when I'm more decent by the thing I come in here for.
If you insist.
Yes, ma'am, I reckon I do insist.
Then I shall look forward to serving you.
Pearly saw Cal turn back toward the front of the store, and he had to run quickly to get down the street far enough so as to be in the hotel by the time Cal got outside. He hurried up to the desk, then, seeing no one behind it, he struck his hand on the bell. The clerk hurried out of the back room to answer the summons.
Yes, sir?
The smile left the clerk's face when he saw how dirty Pearly was. He stared at the young man for a pregnant moment.
You'll have to go somewhere else. The hotel proprietor does not allow me to give alms to the poor. You can understand, I'm sure. Why, if I gave money to everyone who came around asking for it, the hotel would soon be filled with beggars and tramps.
Mister, who are you talking to? I don't see nobody in here asking for your money.
Well, I was talking to... Are you telling me you aren't here to beg for money?
What? Hell no. Look at me, mister. Do I look like the kind of man to be begging for money?
I beg your pardon, sir. My mistake. What can I do for you?
I need a couple rooms for tonight.
A couple of rooms? May I inquire as to why you would possibly need more than one room?
Well, if you have to know, one room will be for Smoke Jensen. The other room will be for me and Cal. And Smoke has given me the authority to go ahead and sign for the rooms myself.
Did you say Smoke Jensen?
I did indeed. Me and Smoke and Cal brung into town more than 1,500 head of beeves in order to sell them to a fellow by the name of Mr. Davenport. Unless you're blind, you saw us bringing them in a while ago. We took up the whole street, we did.
Yes, indeed. I did see the big herd being brought in. Mr. Davenport, you say? Well, Mr. Davenport has been a guest in this hotel for nearly a month now, and Mr. Jensen stayed in our hotel the last time he was in town. I shall be very pleased to put him up again.
And a tub, and some hot water.
I beg your pardon?
We want us a tub and some soap and some hot water. I aim to get myself all spiffed up.
Sir, I'm serving this gentleman now.
That's all right. This here's Cal. He's my pard.
Tub of hot water. Very good, sir. I shall see to it.
By the time Van Arnt and the others rode into Frisco, the cattle, Smoke, Pearly, and Cal had driven from Sugarloaf, filled the feeder lot to near capacity. Van Arnt and the men with him rode down to the fence that held the milling cattle, then stopped to look over into the pen.
That's quite a large herd, isn't it?
The man was one of the stock handlers.
Well, it'll take three trains to ship them all back to Kansas City.
It's a lot of cows, all right.
Yes, sir. 1,500 head. I know this because I counted them myself. It was brought in this morning by just three men. You believe that? Just three men drove this entire herd.
Yeah, I can believe it. This is Smoke Jensen's herd, ain't it?
It is indeed Mr. Jensen's herd. Why do you ask? You ride for him?
There is no way in hell I'd ride for that son of a bitch.
You know Smoke Jensen, do you?
Yeah, I know the son of a bitch. I don't like him, but I know him.
Well, mister, I don't know what's put the burr under your saddle. Here in Frisco, we're sort of partial to the man.
No, are you now?
Yes, sir. You may not know it, but there was a bank robbery here a week or so ago. And Smoke Jensen stopped it near about single-handed.
Yeah? Well, I guess that makes him a hero, then.
Funny, though. Because as it turns out, a lot of the money he saved that day was his own.
What do you mean?
Well, sir, he was paid $45,000 for these cows. Can you imagine that? One man having $45,000?
That's a lot of cash for a fella to be carrying.
Yes, sir, suppose it would be. Only thing is, he ain't being paid in cash.
He ain't been paid in cash?
No, sir, not a dollar of it.
Well, how the hell is he being paid?
By bank draft, of course. That's how it's always done when there's a whole lot of money. You see, that way the money is safe.
What do you mean? The money's safe.
Well, say a fella's carrying $45,000 in cash. Somebody could rob him and have all the money to spend. But now say he's carrying a bank draft. A bank draft is made out to one man, and he's the only man that can take it to the bank and cash it. So even if a robber was to steal the bank draft, it wouldn't do him no good. It would just be a worthless piece of paper as far as he was concerned. And the one who got robbed could just go back to the bank and get another one.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, I'll be damned.
When Cal went back into the mercantile store, he was bathed, shaved, and wearing clean clothes. He smiled when the same young woman who greeted him earlier returned to welcome him again.
Yes, sir, may I help? You are the young man who was in here earlier today, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't understand. Why did you leave with such haste?
I was embarrassed.
Embarrassed? Whatever for?
'Cause I was so filthy. Why, if Sally had seen me go in the store looking like I was looking, she would have turned me out for sure.
I see. This Sally, is she your wife?
No, ma'am, she ain't my wife.
Your girlfriend, then?
No, ma'am, she ain't that neither. She's just the wife of my boss. In fact, you can near about say she is my boss, seeing as she does near about as much bossing around the ranch as Smoke does. Truth be told, miss, I have to confess I ain't got me no girlfriend.
Why, I can hardly believe that. Are you telling me that a handsome and adventurous young man like you doesn't have a girlfriend? Why, I would think the girls would just be all over you.
Yes, ma'am, that's what I would think, too. But here's the thing that maybe you can help me with. I went to me a dance back in Big Rock. That's where I live. Well, not exactly Big Rock, truth is. I live out on the Sugarloaf, which is the name on Smoke Jensen's ranch. I cowboy for Smoke.
Smoke Jensen? Oh, how exciting. Why, everyone in town is talking about how brave he was to face down those bank robbers the way he did.
Yes, ma'am. Well, that's the kind of thing Smoke does all the time.
And you cowboy for him?
Yes, ma'am. Only it's a little more than cowboying.
What do you mean?
I mean, Smoke isn't just my boss. He's also my friend. He is Pearly's friend also. Pearly... he's the other cowboy who works for him full-time.
That's all the more reason I find it difficult to believe that the young women of Big Rock haven't all set their cap for you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, that brings me back to what I was telling you. I went to meet this dance back in Big Rock and met a feller there who told me I need to wear something that would cause the girls to look at me. He said it should be something like a belt buckle or a fancy red kerchief or maybe a fancy hat band. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that would be a wonderful idea. Yes, sir. All you need is something that would add just a little dash to get the attention of the girls.
Which one of them ideas you think would be best? The belt buckle, the fancy red kerchief, or the fancy hat band?
Well, any one of them would do. But I think the hat band would be best. And it just so happens that we've got a particularly beautiful one in stock that I think would be just perfect for you.
Can I see it?
Of course you can. I have it right here.
Reaching down to the table, the young woman moved a few things around and produced a silver hat band.
Let me see your hat.
Cal handed his hat to her, and with a slight adjustment, she slipped the hat band into position, then put the hat on Cal's head. Crossing her left arm across her waist, she cupped her right elbow. She placed her right hand alongside her cheek, then tipped her head to one side as she studied Cal.
Just turn a little to your left.
Cal did as instructed.
Now, turn back to the right.
Again, Cal turned.
Oh, my, how handsome you are in that. You simply must buy that hat band. Why, with it, you can't help but turn the head of every young woman in the county.
How much is it?
It's only $30.
$30? Whew. Are you saying this silver hat band is going to cost me $30?
Yes.
I don't know. That seems awfully expensive.
Oh, but you must believe me. It is well worth $30. Why, when you wear that, it brings out your eyes just so. I swear, if I don't think you are about the most handsome boy I've ever seen.
Really?
Really. But be careful with it. You don't want to break too many hearts now. Well, that wouldn't be very nice of you. And I don't think you really want to do that now, do you?
No, ma'am, I don't reckon I would like to break any girl's heart. That wouldn't be very gentlemanly of me. But sure is a pretty thing.
I think it is the most beautiful thing we have in the store.
I reckon it is. It just costs so much money.
Is that what's bothering you? How much money it costs? What if I told you that you don't have to worry about that at all?
I don't.
Not at all.
Why do you say I don't have to worry?
It's very simple, really. Because the truth is, if you buy this band, you will still have your money.
What do you mean I still have my money? I don't understand how that can be.
Well, think about it. If you are ever in financial difficulty and need money, you can always sell this to someone and recover every cent you paid for it. In fact, this is so reasonably priced that you might even get more than you paid for it. And that makes it just like money in the bank, only better. Your money just sits in the bank. With this, you'll be able to use the money even as you are saving it.
Yeah, you're right. It ain't as if I'm spending the money at all, is it? It's kind of like I'm saving it, but I'm using it at the same time, just like you said.
Exactly.
All right, miss. I'll take it.
Oh, wait. Wear it like this. You are the kind of person who should wear his hat at a rakish angle.
Rakish angle?
Yes. You are definitely a rakish angle kind of person.
She picked up a mirror and held it in front of him.
Here. Take a look so you can see for yourself.
Cal looked at himself from a head-on view, then turned to the left, then to the right as he studied his image.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Smiling, Pearlie sneaked back out of the mercantile store unnoticed by Cal. He had started across the street toward the saloon when he saw some men riding out of town. He wouldn't have given them a second thought, except he thought he recognized two of them. They couldn't be certain because he was unable to see their faces as they were riding away. But from their build and the way they were sitting their horses, he believed it was Keno and Jeter. Pearlie stood there for a long time, looking at the men as they rode away, hoping that one or more of them would turn his face so he could see them. No one did.
What are you looking at?
Turning, Pearly saw his young friend standing beside him.
Those riders.
What riders?
Those men, I thought I...
Looking toward the end of the street, Pearly saw the riders were no longer in view, having already gone around a corner.
Never mind. Seems pretty unlikely they'd actually be here, not after a stampede.
You all right?
Yeah, of course I'm all right. Why do you ask?
I'm just acting funny is all.
That's probably nothing.
Cal reached up and thumped the brim of his hat. Pearly saw the silver band around his hat, and he knew Cal was waiting for him to reply, but he showed no sign that he had seen it.
Ahem!
You got a frog in your throat?
No, I ain't got no frog in my throat. Why do you ask?
You seem to be clearing your throat a lot. Oh, come on, let's get us a beer. Pretty sure that'll clear up your throat.
Beer sounds good, but there ain't nothing wrong with my throat.
Oh, really? You can't prove it by me.
Van Arnt started riding back toward the edge of town.
Hey! Where are you going?
Van Arnt neither answered nor looked back. Instead, he kept riding toward the edge of town. The others looked at each other for a moment, then started after him. Kino caught up to Van Arnt.
You just gonna ride away and leave all this money?
You heard the fella. There is no money. There's nothing but a worthless piece of paper. It wouldn't do us no good if we did take it. We couldn't spend it.
Yeah? What if I told you I know a way we could get the money?
How?
It's simple. We find something that Jensen will pay $45,000 for.
You aren't making any sense.
If you knew Jensen as well as I know him, you'd know that I'm making a lot of sense. You want to hear the idea or not?
Yeah, I want to hear the idea.
Simple, really. All we have to do is snatch his wife. Jensen will do anything to get her back. You want the $45,000? Tell Jensen to cash that bank draft and bring the money to us.
Where's his wife now?
Like as not, she's at Sugarloaf, Jensen's ranch.
How many are on the ranch?
That's a good part of it. Just before Jensen left on the cattle drive, he fired all the cowboys he had working for him. Since he took Pearly and Cal with him, that don't leave nobody back at the ranch but a bunch of Mexicans, most of them too old to do anything. Hell, we can walk in there and take her without no trouble at all. Only thing is, we're gonna do this. We need to do it right now. We need to get back to Sugarloaf before Jensen does.
All right, Kino. I'll go along with your plan. But there better be no surprises.
There won't be none if we can get to Sugarloaf before Jensen does.
Turning in his saddle, Van Arnt saw the others riding behind him. The men were dispirited over not being able to steal either the herd or the money.
All right, gather around, boys. Kino's come up with a plan that I think may work.
What plan is that?
Tell him.
Smiling at his newfound sense of importance, Kino explained his idea of going to Sugarloaf to take Sally Jensen prisoner and hold her for ransom.
Yeah, maybe we have a little fun with her. I'm telling you the truth, boys. Jensen's wife is one of the best-looking women I ever seen. Yeah, that is a great idea.
We're not taking her to have fun with her.
What do you mean? You plan to let her just go to waste?
Kino's right. If we're gonna hold her for ransom, then we can't do nothing with her.
Well, that don't make no sense at all. As long as we've got her, we may as well use her.
I agree with Jeter. We ain't gonna touch her. After we get the money, you'll have enough money to buy any whore in Colorado. Hell, you can buy half a dozen whores if you want to.
Half a dozen whores? Lord, wouldn't that be kicked now?
Yeah, I don't care how good-looking the Jensen woman is. She ain't worth half a dozen whores. I say we don't do anything that might cause the whole thing to go sour.
All right, all right. I'll go along with the rest of you. But you wait until you see her. You know what I'm talking about then.
If you boys are through discussing this, it's time we made a few plans.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Good. Chardine, when we get to Gunside Pass, I want you to climb up to the top and wait on Jensen.
When I see them, you want me to come catch up with you?
No, that'd be too late. I want you to hold him up.
Hold him up? How?
Just start shooting at him. Don't kill him. We wouldn't want to kill the goose that lays the golden egg now, would we?
Now, let me get this straight. You want me to get into a gunfight with Jensen, but you don't want me to kill him?
I didn't say nothing about a gunfight. All I want you to do is get up on top of the pass. When they start through, you shoot at them. Get close enough to make them scramble. Then all you have to do is keep their heads down for a little while, then sneak on out of there and come catch up with us.
Where will you be? At Jensen's ranch?
No.
I'll tell you what. You meet us at the east end of Hardscrabble Saddle Pass. By then, we'll already have the woman, and all we have to do is get through the pass, then wait for Jensen to pay off.
All right.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, half a dozen whores. Damn, I like that.
Now, Chardine, just tell me what in hell you think you can do with six women.
I'm not exactly sure, but damn me if I ain't willing to give it a try and see how it all comes out.
Pearly and Cal met Smoke for supper at Mama Lou's cafe. Supper consisted of steak and beans, with the beans being liberally seasoned with hot peppers. They washed the meal down with mugs of beer.
Whew, those beans will set you afire, but I'll be damned if they ain't about the tastiest things I ever put in my mouth.
Oh, I'm sure Miss Sal loved hearing that some beans you ate at a cafe was better than anything she can cook.
Now, I didn't say no such thing, and you know it.
You said they was about the tastiest things you ever put in your mouth.
Well, I didn't mean ever. I was just pointing out that they was good beans, that's all.
Well, you ate them so damn fast, I don't know what you was able to taste them in the first place.
Hey, Smoke, you got that bank draft you said you was gonna get?
What bank draft?
You know what bank draft, the one that says $45,000.
Yeah, I got it.
Can I see it? I just like to see what that much money looks like.
Smoke pulled a folded piece of paper from his shirt pocket and handed it to Pearly.
Well, that's it. This here little piece of paper is all there is to it.
What did you expect it to be?
I don't know. I guess I just figured it'd be some sort of certificate with a fancy writing on it. I mean, it's $45,000 for crying out loud. Well, what'd it hurt for them to make it look real elegant?
Pearly unfolded the paper and examined it.
Whoo-wee, that's a lot of money.
Let me see. I never seen this much money in my life.
Well, you ain't seeing it now. All you're seeing is a piece of paper.
Yeah, but I ain't never seen a piece of paper with this much money on it.
There's a nice bonus in there for everyone who works at the ranch.
Good, they deserve it. Juan, Carlos, and those other boys worked their tails off for you.
And that bonus includes the two of you. Especially you two.
Smoke, you don't have to do that. We're not like all them others. More like...
family?
Well, yeah. I wasn't going to exactly come out and say it, but yeah, that's the way I look at it.
I look at it that way, too. Now, maybe that's why I want to do it. Fact is, I plan to give the two of you so much money that you could go out on your own if you wanted to.
Damn, Smoke, you running us away?
Oh, hardly. I just hope that by this, I can show you boys how important you two are to me and how much I trust you to stay around, even when you don't have to.
I ain't going nowhere till the day they carry me out in a pine box.
Me neither.
Mama Lou walked over to the table then.
Did you boys enjoy your supper?
Oh, yes, ma'am, we did. I was just telling Smoke here how good them beans was. Well, wasn't I, Smoke?
Yeah, you were, in fact.
Are you ready for dessert?
Smoke, you think we could get us a piece of that there black and blue pie?
Blackberry and blueberry. That sounds mighty good to me.
Well, me too.
Mama Lou, bring us three pieces.
Could you make them extra large pieces?
I'll see what I can do.
Cal reached up to the brim of his hat. He repositioned it.
What time you want to pull out in the morning, Smoke?
We'll leave just before daylight tomorrow morning. A good steady ride will get us back home by mid-afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be good to be back. Oh, by the way, did you send Miss Sally a telegram telling her that we got here and how much money you got and everything?
I sent the telegram first thing. I'm pretty sure she received it by now.
Good. That means for sure we'll be having us some fresh bear sign just awaiting for us when we get back.
What makes you think that?
Because she'll be so excited she'll want to celebrate. Don't you think that's right, Smoke?
I wouldn't doubt it.
What we should have done is we should have brung us along a sack full of them bear sign. Cal, you really need to do something about that cough, boy. It's beginning to get on my nerves.
I ain't got no cough.
Really? Well, you can't prove it by me. Smoke, do you know anything about getting rid of a cough? Oh, Cal here's been coughing now for the better part of an hour.
Why don't you buy you a piece of whorehound candy? That always works for me.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It'll go away on its own, I reckon.
When the pie was delivered, Smoke and Cal began eating, but Pearly hesitated for a moment.
What's the matter? Is there something wrong with your pie?
Something wrong with my pie?
He took a bite.
Well, no. There's nothing wrong with it. It's delicious. Why'd you ask?
Why do I ask? Pearly, you're normally the first one to start eating and the last one to finish. But here, Cal and I have our pie half finished and you've only taken one bite.
Yeah, well, Smoke, I have something important I want to ask you, and I've been thinking about it.
It must be important if it has you putting off your appetite.
Oh, well, it ain't done that. I mean, I can still eat as well as I ever could. But, well, it's about Miss Goodnature.
What about her?
Lucy Goodnature?
Yes, Ian's daughter. I know who you're talking about. What about her?
Well, I like her. That's what's about her. What are you laughing at?
Hell, Pearly. Next thing you know, you'll be telling us that you're wearing a red shirt.
I am wearing a red shirt, which is plain to see if you just take... I think I see what you're talking about. Is it really that obvious?
It's pretty obvious.
I can see why you like her, Pearly. She's a beautiful young woman, and from what I know about her, she's about as nice a young lady as you'll find in the entire state.
Yeah, but her dad owns Crosshatch.
I know Ian owns Crosshatch. It's a neighboring ranch to Sugarloaf.
Well, don't you see where I'm getting at? How am I going to ask her to marry me if she's the daughter of a rancher and I'm just a cowboy?
Marry you? Whew. Has it gone that far?
Well, maybe. No, that's foolish.
Yeah, well, that's almost as foolish as a young gunfighter on the run marrying a schoolteacher from one of the wealthiest families in New Hampshire.
Well, that's different.
How is it different?
Well, for one thing, you are you.
And you're you. Look, Pearly, I don't know what you want. Do you want me to talk you out of it?
What? No, no.
You're a good man, Pearly. I think any father of a young woman would be pleased to have you as a son-in-law.
It's too bad Lucy isn't your daughter. Then I could be your son-in-law.
Don't push it. I'm not willing to go that far.
The only thing is, you haven't told me what you think I should do.
Pearly, on something like this, you have to be your own man. Just know this. Whatever decision you decide, I'll be behind you 100%.
Me too.
Are you going to ask her to marry you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will.
When?
As soon as we get back.
Well, I know you'll probably have Smoke as your best man, but I want to do something in your wedding.
Actually, I was sort of thinking you'd be my best man, Cal. I was figuring on Smoke marrying us.
Smoke marrying you?
Well, why not? He's a justice of the peace. That means you can marry people, right, Smoke?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it does. I've never married anyone before, but I can do it.
Would you marry me and Lucy?
I would be honored to do it.
And you'll be my best man, Cal?
Yeah, of course I will. Thank you for asking me.
Well, then it's all set. All we need now is for Lucy to say yes. And I'm real glad both of you have agreed to be in the wedding. I don't believe anyone has ever had friends as good as you two.
So does that mean you'll share your pie with me?
Not on your life. Friendship only goes so far, you know.